AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols' family attorney, Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Look closely.
That's all it says.
That's all it says. Number 25, a simple way to slightly improve your life, look closely. What do you think that means?
I think whoever was assigned that did not finish that assignment.
Look closely feels a little too vague to really implement into your daily routine.
What? Nigel, are you the one who put look closely on the list?
What does that
mean? What does it mean?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy cold Tuesday. This Tuesday, last day of January. January 31st, 2023. 1 out of 12 behind us. I don't know where it went. It
was, I know.
It went very, very quickly.
It flew.
How you doing, Jane Manor?
I am really good. I am so glad we don't have reverb today.
Yay!
Yay!
You know, sometimes we try new technology.
It's a little glitchy.
It's a little glitchy, but I welcome you, if you were in front of your computer, to join us on the live stream, whether that's on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter under As Goes Wisconsin, because we have a new fancy viewing system that we actually got complimented on. Someone on the YouTube live was like, ooh, this looks fancy. I dig it.
Nice.
And so we have backgrounds, we have banners that say what topic we're talking about.
All the things.
And so I'm very happy. As someone who continues, I think this is a big difference between Jane and I. And she knows where I'm going to go with this. Jane is a radio person.
I am.
And I came from being a video person. And so I am very excited about the video stuff. Jane is making me happy by going along with it.
This is just the way the medium has changed.
It has.
You know, it's pretty much standard now, I think, for radio stations all across the country. You do streams now, which is completely antithetical to the medium itself, but that's a whole nother discussion.
That's a whole other thing, whether it's, you know, same thing with podcasts. I mean, every podcast pretty much, I think, has some kind of video element to it as well. Even the technology we're using, StreamYard, is marketed to podcasters as I know, but here we are.
It is.
The blurred lines between the different mediums, thanks to social media and the affordable technology from what it used to be, right?
Like, true.
The barrier to entry to do any of these things now, I mean, not to have your own radio station, obviously, needs a little more.
That takes a little more green. Yeah.
The FCC is involved in whatever. Yeah. But, you know, to have
licensing.
A podcast, to have your own YouTube channel that's very profitable. Like, cameras are cheap, relatively, but, you know, it's all these platforms are freemium models where you can have a free version and stuff. And so it's just such a different world of needing to be everywhere all at once.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Exactly, which I'm going to promise to watch this weekend. All right, let's get started. So we have a very, very fun show coming up. In the second hour, we have two great guests. Jerry Duchesne, who is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, is going to join us and talk about the reclassification of over 40 towns, villages. I guess we can't really even call them cities anymore because they were considered urban, and now they are not considered urban.
Right.
And so we're going to kind of talk through what the potential ramifications of that could be, and also just hear more about what the League of Municipalities is up to. And then
they're a crazy group, I understand.
They like to have fun.
They do.
They like to get cheeky.
Exactly.
And then at 12:30, Jason Joyce, who's the publisher of the Isthmus up in Madison, is going to join us, and we're going to maybe get some updates on what's going on in Madison. But also, the Isthmus in 2020 made the transition from being, it's always been an independent newspaper, but they transitioned to being a nonprofit and got their 501c3. And I think, you know, on the heels of what the conversation we had with David Haynes a couple weeks ago on the evolution of newspapers, I think contributing and adding to that conversation of like the business model of being a nonprofit media company and how does that work? What are the pros and cons? So I'm really looking forward to that conversation. And then at the end of the show, on this day in history, because, you know, we love to do that, in 1846, 2 years before we were even a state, Carroll Truck College, our neighbor around the corner.
Right down the road.
Right down the road was chartered. And so Dr. Cindy, do you know how to pronounce her last name? We're going to have to ask her.
We're going to call her Dr. G
for right now. Dr. G, Cindy G, is going to join us to talk about the changes over the last 177 years.
I'm sure it's so much the same.
In 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. Tell us everything that's happened.
But to start off, I have to give credit to my husband for sending me this Wisconsin story that I think found its way on high school basketball Twitter, which I don't follow.
Is a thing.
It is a thing. This video from Wisconsin has over a million views on Twitter. And it is, the video itself doesn't tell you much. It's the audio of the video. But basically, I'll set the scene. So Germantown High School, which is obviously southeast Wisconsin, was hosting the Warhawk Invitational on Saturday, this past weekend. And the game was between Brookfield Central and Cedarburg. And it was 77-76, and there were 7.7 seconds in the game. There was a scramble for a loose ball. A player grabs the ball and tries to get off a shot at the buzzer and is fouled. And if you've ever been to a overzealous parent high school game, you can imagine the fans were not happy. And the announcer took it upon himself to, he had had enough. Let's play the clip. Mic drop.
Bravo. Well done.
Yay.
Woot.
So my question this morning is, was that too much? Or are you saying, preach on, brother?
It's long overdue.
I would say, you know, I know this. I do not have, as we know, I do not have kids yet. I would like to think that I will be an understanding parent, since I am the kid of a coach who very much put up boundaries. And I think it's easier for him as a 6'8 man to put up boundaries with parents when he was coaching my brother or myself.
Oh, that helps a little
bit. Because he's like, listen, your kid's going to play if he deserves to play, and I don't want to hear about it.
End of discussion.
But, you know, I've listened to different podcasts. There's like, this is in, even as younger than me, I think, but definitely within millennials and Gen Z, the overzealous, inappropriate behavior of parents when it comes to their kid and their sports is too much.
It is. It's over the top. And it's been this way for a long time. My husband used to coach soccer.
Okay.
And he coached college soccer. And they were just as bad.
Which is interesting, because
you wouldn't think they'd be around.
They wouldn't be around
but
as much.
Apparently at some practices, and he did younger, you know, he had camps for a lot younger kids too, but he stopped doing it because of the parents. He loved working with the kids.
Well, and that's what I've heard from almost, I mean, that's teachers have said the same thing. Like, listen, I never quit because of the kids. I quit because of the parents yeah. or because of the administration.
Right.
And, you know, the relationship you have with your coach. And I think this is interesting because I see it much more as the side of coaching and parents angry about playtime and stuff like that. But it doesn't, it makes perfect sense that this is the same to go with the refs. You know, these like, I don't know if it's volunteer or if they get paid a little bit. If they're certainly not making their live. WIAA refs in Wisconsin, no matter the sport, are certainly not making their living off of this.
No question. They get a little something, but certainly it's, I don't think it's enough. I wouldn't put up with abuse.
Yeah, and it's one thing to take it from the coach because sometimes that's part of the game and you can tee up the coach. But what do you do, you know, with these like parents? Because part we can't really hear it in the video, but in the write-up about it, you know, these parents were like yelling obscenities and swearing at the... It wasn't just like, oh, that was a bad call. Like they were verbally attacking the ref. And so I say hats off to this announcer. I think... I put this out as a poll on Twitter this morning and on my other social media channels, and most people have also responded saying, "Preach on, brother." There's been a couple comments saying, "Well, the sentiment is right, but maybe he shouldn't have told him to shut up." Well,
they're swearing at him.
I should have said this earlier. Shut up.
He could have said shut the F up and he didn't.
That's true. That's true. He was able to restrain himself from cursing. And so I hats off. And I would imagine to a certain extent we can imagine the parents of Brookfield Central and Cedarburg and stuff. They care a lot. And I just always think it's interesting because it's also the realistic expectations of what and why are your kids playing sports?
Yes.
So few of them will go on to play in college, let alone D1. So even fewer, such a minority of people will go on to play past college. And so the expectation that sports are meant to be there as life lessons and character builders and learning how to lose gracefully, learning how to compete, and not because winning is everything and my kid's going to get a scholarship to play, you know, at Kentucky.
And then go on
lose this game.
Yeah, right. And then go on to play in the NBA, of course.
Yes. And so the lasting impression inappropriate parents and the example they're setting for their kids is such a bigger problem than a bad call. And I get it. You're upset. Especially as players, you can be upset and you can say that's unfair. I mean, and that happens at all levels. If anyone watched the Bengals-Chiefs game on Sunday, there was a lot of people upset about the refs who definitely do make a living doing this.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and so it's like there is people are doing their best. That's part of the game. At the WIAA level, they're not going to have... Like, you can't do a recall. You can't, like, go back and watch the tape. Like, that's just not feasible. And so sometimes there's going to be a bad call. And you need to be an adult and not set a bad example by screaming at the refs.
And isn't this one of the reasons why our kids are like the way they are? Because they're following the example of their parents.
I agree. I totally agree. So what do you think? Do you think this was totally in line and the parents deserve to be put in their place? Or you think the announcer overstepped just a little bit? 844-967-2789. We're going to keep the conversation going after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all. Cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus.
You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lowest level off around 1 below overnight. Under clear skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 23 tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows level off around 14. Temps a bit below average Thursday and Friday, with highs from the single digits above zero to the mid-20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
We are the mighty, glorious referees. We are the pride of rugby league. We've never tasted victory, but we decide who wins each week.
Good find, Jane. Got last minute find too, because we just added this topic to the schedule this morning. But this is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back. We are talking about over the weekend, a WIAA ref during a WIAA game between Brookfield Central and Cedarburg. Kindly reminded parents to shut up. And if they think they can do it better, the WIAA is always looking for refs. So they are welcome to put on a striped shirt and get on the floor if they think they can do better. I say hats off. What do you say? 844-967-2789. But we actually have a WIAA ref on the phone. My Uncle John. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
So I sent this to you this morning because I feel like you have firsthand experience of being a ref and dealing with coaches and parents and even announcers. And so how did you feel when you watched this video this morning?
Well, first, I was watching the action to see what happened, and then I heard the announcer, and I'm like, kudos to him. Because any given night, you're on the floor, and parents are ruthless. And, a lot of the times it starts with the coach, and it's the coach's attitude that then spills over into the athletes and then into the parents. But the parents are ruthless some nights. And, you try to be as Teflon as you possibly can, where you don't let it affect you and you do your job and you do what you're supposed to do. But we're all human, and at some point, we just have enough. And fortunately, in the last year or two, a lot of the game administrators have been much more apt to have us, point out fans, and then they address it, and it gets a little bit better. But it's almost every night you're on the floor, you're going to hear from some parent who doesn't like a call or doesn't like their child got into a situation where we missed it. And depending on the age of that child that's playing, sometimes there's two referees, like in youth games or sub-varsity games, and you're asking two people to cut the court in half, and basically you're watching on any given moment, five players, one referee's watching five players, another one's watching five players, and so the parent who is hyper-focused on their child, mm-hmm. who is only watching their child, misses some of the other things that we have to look for. And so, we don't see everything in two-man. And in three-man, it gets significantly better. But we try not to miss things, but it happens.
John, Because with coaches, if coaches get in your face, and I know this, having had a coach, your brother, as a coach, they choose sometimes to get in a ref's face. And then, but the thing is, with a coach, you can tee him up, or you can tee up players. Is there any, what can you even do if a parent's out of control in a game? Like, can you kick them out?
You can. Okay. So I had an event happen about a week and a half ago where I was at a school that I had been at frequently, and there's a couple of people that sit kind of in the same spot, and we were three times down the floor, and they were already yelling, and they were on for things. And here's the key. A lot of times they don't know the rules. And so what they think is a foul or what they think is a violation is not, because they don't have the depth of the rule.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, there was a fast break that took place going to the other end of the court. I took my whistle out, and as I kind of went down the floor, I looked at him and I said, not another word or I'll have you thrown out. And I turned around because the play was coming back at me. The administrator was there. And, of course, the egregious person, I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. And he was gone. And then I never heard anything the rest of the night. So we do have that ability. You don't like to do that.
But yeah, of course.
Again, yeah, it happens.
John, I think it's great that you're able to toss parents when they're like that. But I think if they want to come back, they have to write an essay about why their behavior was bad. To set an example for their children.
Well, that's true. So I'll give you another story real quick. I'm refereeing, and it is a 6th or 7th grade youth basketball game. And it's in a tournament. And we were at, and this is when the masks were on, and we were at this, it was for 7th and 8th place. And this parent sitting on the sideline was yelling back and forth and so forth. And I stopped the game, and I went over to him, and I said, listen, your son is never going to remember whether or not they won 6th or 7th place in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are going to remember is the fact that I'm kicking you out, and you've just been embarrassed, and they'll remember that much more so than they'll remember whether they won.
Bravo.
All right, John, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sure I'll have more conversations with you about this next time we see each other, but I feel like you have very interesting perspective on this story.
Absolutely.
So thanks for sharing that.
I cut him loose.
All right, cut him loose. All right. I think, you know, this is probably a story that could have happened anywhere in the country.
Without a doubt.
But it happened in Southeast Wisconsin. So, you know, figured we'd bring it
up. We got to own it.
And, you know, be nice to refs. There's someone, the ref is someone like my Uncle John, who's just doing this because he loves basketball.
Likes kids.
Believes in the spirit of sports and what it does for kids. So just check yourself.
Be a better example for your children.
Yes. Or just know that there's going to be some announcer out there who might tell you to shut the F up. All right. When we come back, more headlines. The COVID crisis is over? Apparently. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When that whistle blows, the replays show that we never get it wrong. We are the mighty, glorious referees. We are the favorites of the fans. They love to boo and jeer at us and pelt us with their cans. But we love being in control with the barbers running in. White, yellow, or pink, if you start to stink, we'll say.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Wind Lake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Forecasters are warning of dangerous icy conditions as a storm system hits the south over the next 2 days. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We have a widespread ice event unfolding from Texas all the way to the Ohio River Valley.
New York Republican George Santos has stepped down from committees in Congress. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Santos is already under investigation over his campaign finances and lies about his past. Now he's saying he'll hold on to two committee assignments but won't actually serve on them until he has been cleared. He is apologizing for being a distraction.
Two more Memphis police officers have been suspended and three fire department employees fired over the death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Elise Preston.
As Memphis continues to mourn, the Biden administration announced it will send four officials to Tyre Nichols' funeral tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Shelby County District Attorney says more charges could be forthcoming in the future.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Thank you for joining us on this frigid 4-degree end of January Tuesday.
Yeah, it's brutal out there.
It is. We got very lucky for most of January, and now it feels, if it's 4 degrees here, I wonder what it is up in Amory.
It is going to be chilly up there.
It's probably really cold.
Yeah.
And I wonder how the ice is doing on the lake. I imagine there's more now.
I would think so. You still couldn't convince me to go out on a lake right now.
Any lake?
No.
Have you ever gone ice fishing?
No.
Would you?
Sure.
I think I would too.
Sure.
I feel like I would need to do it in one of those huts, though.
I want a fancy hut.
Yeah. I want the Anthony Bourdain. Have you ever seen that episode when he goes up to Quebec?
No.
It's in the first season of... I forgot which one came first, but it was basically the same show with two different, No Boundaries and I forgot what the other one was, but it was basically the same show. And one of the second or third episode ever, he went to Quebec and they, in a little like Shaq on the ice had a five-star, James Beard Award-winning meal. And
that sounds great.
It was incredible. Yeah. That is one of the most decadent episodes, as far as if you like food shows and you love Anthony Bourdain, R.I.P. I remember that. I'm like, all right, maybe if it was like that, I could sit in a little ice shack.
Definitely.
On a lake.
That, but I think, would be fun.
Shy of that.
It's 1 degree in Amory right now, by the way.
Oh, it's actually not that much lower than it is here.
No, you'd think it would be a lot worse. It's cold enough.
All right. Well, you are welcome to join the conversation. Wherever, whatever we're talking about, give us feedback. 844-967-2789. Because apparently the COVID crisis, the COVID emergency status is coming to an end.
Mm.
And I guess to a certain extent, I don't know how much I've been acting like, I mean, this is as someone who had COVID in December, both of us.
Yes.
Also other people in the civic media family. Also, a lot of other people in general had COVID between the triple demic, between RSV, influenza, and COVID. There are a lot of people who had something over the holidays. I don't know what the numbers are right now, but I would say in general, it feels like you certainly sometimes still see people who choose to wear masks, but not necessarily having any mandates anymore. But yesterday, Biden told Congress that the U.S. will end its national emergency and public health emergency declarations for COVID, which will kick off in May. Now, what does that actually mean, especially for those who are still, who kind of are acting like it's been over and now they just, you know, the cold, it's a cold. So the move will end a ton of federal dollars going toward the pandemic. So this could mean boosters are no longer free, despite the fact that, flu vaccine every year is free. And I know that they were talking about at one point treating COVID boosters like the flu shot. Like, then so the vaccine kind of changes with whatever the strain is.
Right.
And so it'd be kind of crazy to think that if that was the public health incentive to continue to get boosters and treat it like a flu shot, that wouldn't continue to be free.
Absolutely. Especially because more people have died of COVID than the flu.
Is that still true?
I just pulled up the latest. From January 30th of 2023, the 7-day average of deaths is 446 in the U.S.
Compared to what for the flu?
Don't have it.
Don't have that? All right. But it also means that tests are about to get more expensive. So a reminder to stock up now at-home tests, which is how you and I found out that we had COVID back in December. But there's some who are saying this could be wide-ranging chaos for hospitals and doctors. And it's not the only update from COVID that happened yesterday. But a new study also found, kind of similar to what you were saying, COVID is the 8th most common cause of death for kids.
Wow.
And so while children and young people make up about 0.1% of the 1.1 million Americans who've died of the virus, that's still 1,300 children. And this study found that COVID surpassed the flu and pneumonia as the leading cause of death for kids, following shortly after homicides and heart disease. And so given the efficacy of vaccines, the study found that COVID may be also the leading vaccine preventable disease. And this news comes as 90% of the kids in the U.S. under 5 remain unvaccinated. So, you know, I feel like COVID used to dominate the headlines, and we definitely don't talk about it as much anymore. But just a reminder that the World Health Organization lists COVID as a public health emergency, which is now will be contrary to
the
U.S. policies. But they have said that the pandemic is probably at a transition point. And so some see reclassifications like this as an overdue acknowledgement of the world moving on. Others see them as humanity wishing the virus would just go away while allocating fewer tax dollars to make that happen.
Yeah, COVID's not going away.
Certainly not going away.
It's not.
And so I'm vaccinated.
So am I.
And I will continue to get boosted.
Yep.
Because the two times I've had COVID, I got it post vaccination post-booster. At least I think I've had two boosters at this point. And I was still pretty sick. Not hospital sick, but pretty miserable sick.
Yeah.
And didn't want to move sick. And
it's not enjoyable.
It's not enjoyable. And the thought that it could have been a lot worse had I not been vaccinated makes me appreciate that I was.
Personally, I'm going to keep getting vaccinated and boosted because I'm still waiting to become metallic or magnetic. I'm sorry. I'm still waiting to become magnetic. I've been waiting and hoping and wishing and praying.
I mean, I'm just waiting for you to do that. Could maybe be your TikTok dance, because you saw all these videos that went viral of these. I think it was mostly women who were trying to pretend that their reaction to the vaccine. And so they were having like
seizures,
full body convulsions, uh-huh, and then posting the video on the internet and then just getting roasted by the internet of like, well, apparently the only fear of the vaccine is that it makes you a bad actor. So
I'm shooting for magnetizing. I want to be magnetic.
What would your superpower be? Is that what you'd like to have things be able to just stick to you?
I just think it would be funny.
I'm easily just a full office supply.
Yeah,
stuck to your body.
I'm just
like, use a stapler. Here's a stapler.
Yeah, I just think it would be amusing.
Oh, all right. Well, moving on to our shadow governor, as Politico called him.
Ooh.
Is that good? 2 years ago when Politico did their big feature on Robin Voss?
Ooh, like shadow governor.
And I think they literally called him. That was the title of it wasn't an investigative report. It was just it was a profile. And he is. I mean, hands down, he is the most powerful Republican in the state, and arguably as powerful as the governor in a lot of ways.
And that was by design. Ben Wickler, by the way, had a great thread on Twitter this morning.
He's known to do that.
Yeah. Just about some of the changes that the Republicans made when Scott Walker was a lame duck and basically cut a whole bunch of power that the governor's office had under Walker. And then they took that all away before Evers took over, mm-hmm, and then gave themselves a whole bunch more power, too.
Aren't there still looming lawsuits over that aren't settled?
Could be.
I think there is. But Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, was on Upfront on WISN this weekend. And in general, I have to say, he sounded way more amenable than he usually does.
Yeah.
He's still smug. He still has, like, he still gets his jabs in there. But it kind of is going on this theme. And until, you know, the actual negotiations happen and we see what the sticking points are, you know, I don't want to speak too soon, but it does sound like he's not being as, even though last week he said most of the things that Evers had put in his State of the State was probably going to be DOA. But what he did say, what we've talked about a fair amount on this show, is his attachment to the flat tax. And last week that was last week, right? When Phil Rocco was here?
Yes.
And Marquette University political science professor who wrote a great piece about the flat tax. And we talked more about what happened in Kansas, which I still have to make into a video. But kind of how a flat tax would be very beneficial for a very small amount of people,
yeah,
who are very wealthy already and not that helpful for most of us. And this was his quote. A flat tax, him being Robin Voss, a flat tax would be my preference, but I understand Governor Evers has concerns with that. But the most important thing for us to do, we have to make big efforts toward reducing our tax burden. Flat tax would be ideal. If we can't get to ideal, there are other ways to get there. Now, a reminder, we currently are at our lowest tax burden in state history. And so I don't know what the other ways to get there are. And I don't know what the other ideas would be besides more tax cuts for wealthy people.
I think that's the other plan. I think the plan is the same plan.
It's the same plan. It's just maybe a different
name,
different percentage of whatever the progressive tax is, and just a cut in what the top end bracket would be. I don't know, but I guess we'll see. But I think I'm at least happy to hear that this will not be a point. Like, how hard are they going to go to the mat for this flat tax thing when they start over with Evers' eventual budget? And what are they going to fight over? And it sounds like while this is circulating, it may not have the, there may be other things that Voss is more attached to than this, which I think is good.
Well, yeah, he's only doing this because he almost lost. That's the only reason he's doing anything.
Well, he's also, because he's also indicated movement on negotiations to increase the amount of money that the state needs to send municipalities. Which,
excuse me?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe when Jerry DeShane is here next, we can ask him if he believes it or not. But as we've talked almost as much, if not more, as about flat tax on this show, shared revenue and what different cities on Milwaukee included, but even like across the state.
Yes.
The increase of revenue to different municipalities and mayors, no matter what way they lean, are saying that there is nothing left to cut. We need
more money.
More money. And so he said, I think it's possible. As I look at the real problem, the mistakes that have been made are so gargantuan, it's almost impossible to solve without some new revenue. So, of course, he had to get the dig in of, you know, these mayors and all their poor planning.
Well, they're just, they don't handle money well.
Such, you know, so we have to come in and save them because the problems that they made are so gargantuan. Yeah. But I guess I'll have to come in and save them. So, listen, I think a lot of them at this point are like, fine, whatever. You can kiss the ring and we'll just move on.
I'm sure, but I still find it laughable that now he's actually pliable because he almost lost by 300 votes.
But the one thing he's still not moving on is certainly recreational marijuana, but even medical marijuana, despite the fact that they're getting closer. He said, we're not that close. I think it's unlikely unless we can figure out a way to get some middle ground consensus. This is about medical marijuana. And he also, he thinks it's a compromise enough on the abortion ban to create new legislation that just provides exceptions for rape and incest and then clearly defines what life of the mother means, because that is not defined at all right now, and is thinking that that should be enough for a compromise for Evers to work with. And I'm pretty sure Evers' line is at least going back to what it was prior to Dobbs coming down, which was a 20-week, I think it was a 20-week ban, as after 20 weeks, you could not get, you can no longer get an abortion, which for a lot of people who find out devastating diagnoses in the second trimester, are potentially forced to travel out of state if they have a non-viable child,
right?
Which is a heartbreaking, awful decision to make that cannot be made before 20 weeks for some of these diagnoses, just as a reminder. All right. Well, when we come back, we got an election in 3 weeks from now. And one of the new GOP chair would like to change course a little bit on directives to his voters. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com. Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lowest level off, around 1 below.
Overnight, under clear skies, southwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunny skies tomorrow, high of 23. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 14. Mid-20s Thursday, much cooler on Friday, with highs in the single digits above zero. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height, currently one above.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that no matter where you are, thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to a radio, if you're listening to the app, if you're streaming us, if you're watching the live stream of a fancy new StreamYard, thank you for spending some time with us today. And as always, you can join the conversation. Give us your thoughts, 844-967-2789. So, I think we've been running this in the news, but I just want to talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, sometimes it just takes people a little while to learn, like, maybe we should not cut off our nose to spite our face. And one person who believes in that motto, apparently, is new chair of the state Republican Party, Brian Schimming, who is now taking the stance of encouraging Republican voters to take advantage of voting early, voting absentee, because it is totally safe and it is a totally valid way to vote. Who knows? Maybe he'll even get on board to bring ballot boxes back.
Voter fraud, Kristen. It's all voter fraud.
And so, I mean, listen, I am in the camp of voting should be easy, voting should be accessible. And so if this is what it takes for them to get on board with that message, and instead of Spindell celebrating how many less people are voting, having a Republican leader be in favor of democracy and making it easier to vote and encouraging people to vote and take advantage of the ways that we can vote, even if it means even if it comes from a place of him knowing, listen, we can't make up 200,000 votes in 13 hours. Fine. I think that's fine. So, I mean, so far, it seems like what I've heard from Brian Schimming is kind of in line with what was it Paul Fanlon who wrote the Cap Times op-ed as far as, you know, Brian Schimming being more of a Tommy Thompson era Republican and potentially reining in some of the fringiness and being a little bit more moderate, a little bit more compromising, a little bit more how do we stick to our conservative ideals and yet not just create more gridlock and partisanship?
Oh, that was nice of you. I was going to say sane.
But it is a reminder that we are, as of today, 3 weeks away from the primary. And we all have something on our primary. You know, sometimes if there's not a statewide election and they're in the primary spring, there is not necessarily something down ballot for you to vote on. But for us, because there is a statewide four-person race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, this primary is important.
It cannot be understated.
It cannot be understated how important this primary is. And so it is, as of today, 3 weeks away. And so I thought we could just, you know, spend a little time doing some housekeeping and reminding you of some of the deadlines so that you can make a mental note, tell friends so that they make a mental note, and then we're going to do this all again once we make a sprint to the general.
Yes.
So tomorrow, February 1st, 1st of February, is the deadline to register by mail and register to vote online. Now, so you should go to, myvote.wi.gov. And check your registration. Make sure your address is up to date.
Yep.
Make sure that your name is there. But if you still need to register, You can do that online today at myvote.wi.gov. Now, if you don't get it done by tomorrow, you can still always register in person at your municipal clerk's office. And we also, in Wisconsin, have same-day registration. So you could vote. You could register at your poll on election day.
On the day you vote, yes.
But to do it easy online, tomorrow is the deadline. And then the deadline to do it at your municipal clerk's office is February 17th. So that's obviously a lot closer because the primary is February 21st. But then, as I said, you can register to vote at your polling place on February 21st. The deadline to request an absentee ballot, this is always a lot later than I feel like it should be because of the turnaround time.
Right.
But you can request your absentee ballot up until February 16th if you are a regular voter. If you are indefinitely confined or in the military, you have until February 17th. But just do it now.
Yeah.
Planning, and once you're there, you can also check the box to get all of your absentee ballots for the year of 2023. So they all just get sent to you. Because the truth is, even if you decide not to vote absentee and you want to vote in person, if you get it sent to you, you just have to bring your absentee ballot with you when you vote in person. They'll void that and you can vote in person. But at least you have it.
Yes.
And if anything, it sits, if you're anything like me, where you get your absentee ballot and it sits there just as a reminder, like a daily reminder of you still have to do this, even if you end up voting in person. And so you can also go to myvote.wi.gov until February 16th, but don't wait because they have to mail it to you. You have to mail it back or drop it off at your municipal clerk's office.
Do it today.
So just do it today. Yeah. Unless you don't know who you're voting for yet, but at least if you have it, you got it.
You're ready.
And then you should come back and listen to tomorrow's show with Jim Santel,
yes,
who's going to be here. And we're not going to get into like the nitty gritty of the individual candidates so much as, but instead we're kind of going to talk about what as a layperson should we know about the Wisconsin Supreme Court? What are the types of cases that they hear? What is the kind of experience that makes someone qualified to sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court? How does it differ from, you know, what Judge Jennifer Doro does right now, which is, you know, what she is most famous for is trying the Darryl Brooks Waukesha Parade case, right? And how does that differ in the types of cases that come in front of them? And what should we be looking at values in an ideal world, not a partisan world, but in an ideal world, what is the information that makes us informed voters when we're voting on something that's so different than elected officials that work in government, but on the judicial branch? Because I don't know, like if we don't have that information, we just kind of default into what our party is telling us to vote for. Right.
Right.
Versus having some kind of toolkit to have an objective look. Because we're in this very weird situation, and I would love, maybe Jim knows this, of when was the last time that we had two right-leaning candidates and two left-leaning candidates in the primary where it's not just one kind of, there's, you know, before when there's one who's conservative and one who's liberal, and you just go into it knowing who you're going to vote for, but you're actually trying to decide between two candidates, what are some of the criteria that would be helpful? So, just my last moment, just go to myvote.wi.gov, all of your voting needs there. You can check out your ballot and what's on it already. You can go request your absentee ballot. You can register to vote. You can check out where your polling place is. Everything's there. Go check it out. And that does it for the first hour. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Jerry DeShane, the executive director of League of Wisconsin Municipalities, will be here. Can't wait for that. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated
an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.